Dina Bakowitz is the founder and chief networking officer of Fireball Network, which helps clients access business and career opportunities. Originally from Montreal, Dina calls New York City home, although she's currently stuck in Toronto due to the COVID lockdown. Dina is all about networking and has some practical advice for people attending an event.
What's your focus? What's your goal when you go to an event? Who do you want to meet? Who do you need to meet and talk to? Plan ahead by researching the event. Who's going to be there? Find information about them. Find common points of interest. Find things that are absolutely you have nothing in common about, because that's interesting to learn about someone else's perspective and life and career.
On this episode of Run It Like a Girl, Dina tells us that diversity is important within her own networks.
I want people that don't think like me. I want to network with people that are coming from a completely different background and mindset. As extroverted and creative as I am, I want to be with introverts and people that are really strong on structures and systems. Even though it scares me, I can learn from them, they can learn from me, and we together, we can do great work, right? That's the cast and the crew, the team.
Dina is also a comedian, a passion that took off when she was centered out while leaving a comedy show.
Come join us on stage. The magic words, join us, or take the spotlight, take the stage, take the mic. I said, well, hold on, let me just see how it feels. And I held the mic and I stood there. I was like, I felt like I was home. Like it felt 1,000% natural in my body.
Dina points out that scientific evidence suggests that humor and laughter are good for us in all facets of life.
And it does bring people together, and it cuts the tension, and it makes me happy, and it brings me together with really cool people. And I do say, having comedians in your life during a global pandemic, it's a pretty good community to have in your life.
Dina Bakowitz on this episode of Run It Like a Girl.
So I'm like so excited today because I had the opportunity to meet the women that you're all going to meet shortly a little while ago through a women's network called Elevate that we're involved in. And she is an absolute gem. And I can't wait for you all to hear her story. I am so pleased to have Dina Bakowitz, founder and chief networking officer of the Fireball Network, on for an episode of Run It Like a Girl. Dina, thank you so much for agreeing to this.
Oh, Bonnie, I'm so excited. It feels like we booked this a year ago.
Sure does. It sure does. And you're based in Toronto, so that's where you're speaking from today?
Currently, yes. I am, as I like to say, I was born Canadian. I identify as a New Yorker, and I'm currently remote and in Toronto.
So yes. Is New York where you want to get back to then?
New York is my home.
It's your home.
It is. I sometimes I say I'm a remote New Yorker. Sometimes I say I'm an exile.
Okay. Yeah, you've been sent here to live out the pandemic, I guess.
The frozen Canadian tundra.
Here we are.
And I'm originally from Montreal. So that's, you know, where I grew up, that vibrant energy. And I think identity, right, where you're from, where you find your identity are not necessarily the same. Like coming back to Canada did carry some emotional baggage, literally and figuratively. Had to, you know, pack my entire life up. 20 years in New York, packed it up and shipped it across the country. But where you're from, where you grew up, what you grew up with, what that experience was like as a child versus once you're a grown up and you move out on your own and you make your own life. And so for me, coming back was in some ways a regression. And yet the women that I have met through Elevate Network Toronto, because I got on the leadership team, I think before I even moved here, as much as, you know, you make the best of a situation, right? And networking and women supporting other women, your podcast is Run It Like a Girl. Well, this is what girls and women do. We show up for each other wherever we are. And so that is one of the silver linings, is meeting this incredible network of Canadian women that I probably would have not bothered to or had the chance or reason to meet if I hadn't come back to Canada.
So there are silver linings in being here in Canada. And Elevate, if anybody is interested, is an incredible network. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world, there is probably a chapter that you can join.
It is global. I joined the minute they launched in New York, and I'm not sure how many years ago it was at this point, But I remember going to the first event and just saying, I want to get involved. I want to do workshops. I want to be on leadership. And they're like, we just launched. Thank you. Tone it down a bit, but we'll keep it in mind. And of course, then I went on to run workshops and be on there. And the Elevate has a podcast and jam sessions and squads. And I really believe in the power of women's networks. I've always been a fierce feminist and advocate for women pretty much my whole life. And that shows up in the organizations I'm involved with and the work that I do.
So let's talk about this a bit. So we've kind of talked a little bit about you were born in Montreal. You've lived in New York for 20 years. You're back here for a little bit of a time.
The duration? The pandemic?
Maybe you didn't think it was going to be a year when it first started, but here we are. So Fireball Network, this is your organization. I love the name, first of all, and I can see how you're the one that founded it. Based on your personality and who you are. What is it? What do you do?
I've stopped using the royal we. It's me. I founded it. I run coaching programs and workshops and speaking services like many coaches and consultants out there, right? We all, now more than ever, there's coaches and consultants, you know, there's technically no barriers to entry. I have a theater background, a social work degree, a law, extensive business background, and recently took up stand-up comedy a couple of years ago. What I do with the business is, and it's not only women I work with, but in particular, I love working with women entrepreneurs or women in career transition, confidence, branding, networking, marketing. And I look at marketing, branding, and networking as there's a Venn diagram. They're all interrelated. People are like, what's the difference? It's like making a recipe, right? You can have three separate ingredients, and when you put them together, it creates something else. But if each one is standalone, like chocolate chips and flour and butter and milk, I don't bake, so I probably shouldn't be using cooking analogies. I tend to set things on fire in the kitchen. Also, not why they call me Fireball, just a coincidence. But really, we are about professional skills development. So how do you build relationships? Whether you're in the arts industry, whether you're in finances, commercial real estate, whether you run your own business, what is a personal brand? What is your professional brand? How do you differentiate from the company you work for or the company that you founded, right? Where are the boundaries and how do you promote yourself using podcasts, panels, conferences, thought leadership, writing articles? For me, networking is just, it's the beginning, the end, the alpha, the omega. It's connecting with people. No one has ever succeeded by sitting behind the desk by themselves in a vacuum, right? Even though we are all remote, in some ways it has completely opened up the world where we can build connections everywhere. And what you get out of networking, learning, teaching, mentoring, being mentored, finding clients, referral sources, being of service, this is one of the reasons I founded Fireball Network, was to help people who were struggling with, how do I reach out? Is networking, it feels sleazy, it's salesy, oh, LinkedIn, oh, social media. Let's break it down, look at what are some of the fears and doubts, and build the skills and the confidence and put it into practice with action plans and accountability.
I love this, and it's interesting. So, even just using myself as an example, I'm an introvert who wishes she was an extrovert. So
join the club.
Even with my podcast, I'm the voice. I don't go out there. Mm-hmm. So networking is a challenge for me. It's a challenge for millions of people out there. What do you say? How do you start a conversation? How do you get into things? There's nothing worse than going to an event and seeing a bunch of small groups of people, and you're standing at the sideline wondering, where's that entrance? Where can I break into this conversation? So if you don't have a strong network, or you're looking to build your brand and you have to get out there and you have to meet new people, how do you start? How do you make yourself feel more comfortable with doing this?
That's a great question. That is one of the reasons I started my business, because for me, it was a combination of learning on my own, watching other people. And naturally, I am an extrovert. I love people. I can talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime. But I was not always like this. I was not always confident. And so having that sensitivity and knowing that you can walk into a situation and it's uncomfortable or you feel like you don't fit in. I moved to New York. I didn't know a single person in New York City. I went to interview, landed a job, and moved, and I was building a brand new career. And I've done that with various careers since then. So what I tell people, first of all, I mean, ask for help. Like, yes, call me. I'm happy to give advice. It's what I also offer and do for a living. But talk to other people, observe other people when you're in the room. And I tell the introverts, find the extrovert. Find the social butterfly, someone like me who you can see is running around the room, but looks friendly, right? And if I see someone standing by themselves, I will always walk over to them and say, come join us or join me. I've met some of my best friends because I see them standing alone and I'll just walk up to them and say, you're new here. Nice to meet you. Can I introduce you around? Some people don't want to meet 50 people at once. It's know your personality. It's okay not to want to talk to, especially for introverts, they don't necessarily want to meet 50 people in one day. I'm like, that's warm up for me. That's breakfast. But like one of my friends, yeah. And I said to her, I'll introduce you around. She's like, no, I'm good. And so we just spent the next, whatever, half an hour talking to each other. So it's know your comfort zone. If you're good one-on-one, if you're comfortable, small groups, find the activities and events where you are more comfortable. I always say to introverts, don't try to be somebody you're not. You do have to practice the skills. You do have to learn to making conversation is both an art and a science. Plan ahead, right? And it's not just for the introverts, even the extroverts. We can just go, we can talk on and on and on and not say something of substance. And that's quite frankly a waste of time. So what's your focus? What's your goal when you go to an event? Who do you want to meet? Who do you need to meet and talk to? Plan ahead by researching the event. Who's going to be there? Find information about them. Find common points of interest. Find things that are absolutely, that you have nothing in common about, because that's interesting to learn about someone else's perspective and life and career. And then follow up, of course.
I think that's so interesting. And I also think it's important to note, because, you know, the people that listen to this podcast are from all different kinds of, all different places, all different kinds of businesses and all of that. And I think a lot of people think of networking as something that you have to do if you're in the corporate world or if thing like that. But that's not the case. Like, no matter what it is, you might be an author and you want to sell your next project, or you want to build your network with other authors, or you could be, it could be for anyone. You could be a person that's now on their own in a new city.
Actors, comedians. When I got into comedy and I was also started taking classes on auditioning for TV commercials and comedic acting, and one of the teachers said, he goes, it's all about networking. And I was like, oh, I don't even have to audition then. I'm good. I'm in. Like, I'm a net. Even if I couldn't act, I it's all about that. Now, I'm joking. Of course, to a certain extent, you have to have talent. You have to have skill, whatever you do. But the networking will get you there. And so, which is also why I love teaching and coaching my friends in the arts community, because it's even harder for those of us who are artists or health and healing professionals. I was a social worker. We weren't about sales, right? But we were about connecting people to resources and making sure that no one was left on their own. We say those who are the most isolated are the most at risk. Whether you're in social work or you're in the arts or you're in corporate or any in the business world. And so finding community, I mean, we don't have to call it networking. We can call it finding community, finding a support group, well, not a support group so much, but your support system, your support network, your board of directors. I believe everyone, and in particular women, should have their own personal board of directors, the people that have your best interest in mind, who give you honest and direct advice, who will advocate for you and mentor for you and sponsor you and be there for each other. You know, companies don't run one person's idea alone. They'd never survive. So having those rich and diverse perspectives and ideas and opinions, I want people that don't think like me. I want to network with people that are coming from a completely different background and mindset. As extroverted and creative as I am, I want to be with introverts and people that are really strong on structures and systems. Even though it scares me, I can learn from them, they can learn from me, and we together, we can do great work, right? That's the cast and the crew, the team. And so network, tribe, community, team, committee,
All of it. I love what you say, have everyone should have their own personal board of directors. I think that is very important, and probably important to have a diverse group of people be your board of directors, so you're getting various perspectives on whatever it is that you go to your network for support for.
Yeah, and not just women. I mean, having male allies really matters. And I have male. I'm lucky. I have male allies. I have women of all ages. I, you know, especially from an age standpoint, I think sometimes having a real wide age difference is even richer because you're getting a different perspective. And we can teach each other. They call it reverse mentoring or cross mentoring, but anyone can mentor or inspire anyone else.
Yeah.
And that to me is, I think, why I love networking so much is, yes, you meet the most incredible people. And whether or not I make a sale, that's not why I'm networking. Yes, I'm networking to promote my business. And I obviously want clients. But even if I didn't have to network for my business, I would still be in groups of people, meeting new people, reaching out, organizing. My birthday parties turn into networking events. I tell people, they're like, what should we bring? Gift? I was like, no, just bring your business cards. They're like, well, that's tacky. I'm like, no, I want you to get to know each other. The business card is really just a token. And even though we are virtual right now, we will go back to in person. And even with virtual, for introverts, for people who maybe aren't sure on their strategy or their focus, there are ways you can network virtually that make it more comfortable for you, that give you a chance to shine. Don't let the extroverts like me take over or dominate the conversation or the spotlight. We can, but we need to tone it down and make space for everyone. And your stage could be, maybe it's not speaking in front of a large group of people on Zoom, but a podcast like this, one-on-one, or writing an article, or being quoted in someone else's article, or helping to create content, or come up with the program structure and be behind the scenes. That is still your spotlight, and let people know what you do and what you're great at so that they can find opportunities for you and you can find that confidence in your own brand and your own unique skill set.
I think that's great. And I'd like to dig into a little bit now because the pandemic has moved everyone to virtual. Here we are. And, you know, nothing is more awkward than being on a Zoom call where no one's talking. Or even worse, you're the host and you're trying to get people to engage and no one is giving anything back to you. How do you manage that?
I love those rooms. That's a personal and professional challenge. That's like where like I'm like, oh, we're going to make magic happen. And, you know, this does come from years of experience facilitating support groups and facilitating workshops and bringing people together. It's harder on Zoom, 1,000%, because people can turn their cameras off. You can't see if they're, well, I was going to say you can't see what they're doing with their hands, but these are women we're talking to right now. Generally, the women are like texting, taking care of the baby, you know, whatever it is. So I am very, I want to say particular and strategic about the kinds of exercises I will bring into either a workshop like our panel next week, or by the time this airs, it'll be last week, our panel. But whatever program I'm doing, I want to design it like from an instructional design standpoint and from an experience standpoint. What is the best way to help people connect on a and make a conversation that reveals something that isn't on the spot? And it's tricky, right? Like the what do you do is a good question. People are like, oh, I never ask that. I always start with, what's business networking? Ask them what they do. They're there to promote themselves. You can ask them why they do what they do. What are they passionate about? What causes are they involved with outside of work? So having, as the host, right, being able to put out those icebreakers for people and structure the conversation so people aren't floundering. The other thing I'll do is, because I'll do, you know, can I get a volunteer? And you, somebody will all, generally someone will raise their hand and then it'll be the same person trying to speak throughout the program and that's unbalanced. So sometimes I'll just, it's my program, I'm in charge. I'm like, I will volunteer you, Bonnie. Thank you for agreeing to volunteer. You have to make it fun. You can't be like, you know, just lecturing people. And make it simple. Like, Bonnie, what's one word to describe your brand? Or what's one thing you accomplished this week? Something you achieved? Or something you're happy about?
Yeah.
And it structures it in a way that you're like, oh, well, I did XYZ this week. Or something you're looking forward to next week.
That's great. I like that, too. And I think because everyone has something to contribute. And it's just finding where you can.
Yeah.
I want to go a different way for a second because I have to ask.
Sure.
I want to know about comedy and yourself and how you made the decision to go that route and what mm-hmm. that's looked like for you.
Yeah. And I will add, comedy in breakout rooms and in events where you're saying where people aren't talking, it has become an incredible asset. It was always an asset in live, but even more so. So when you are in a room when it's quiet, anyone who cracks a joke and gets people laughing, and that's when I was like, take the screenshot, and everyone's laughing. And it breaks the ice. It warms them up. Fireball breaks the ice, warms them up. I didn't decide to go into comedy. It just happened. Like many, many things in my life, right place, right time, or you're in the room, it's just saying yes. And Shonda Rhimes wrote a book, and it's an audio book, A Year of Saying Yes. And she's very introverted. She never wanted to do her own public appearances or be in the press. And I think it was her sister who said to her, you say no to everything. You need to say yes. I was leaving a singles party coming down the stairs. And the way the bar was so badly designed, you had to cross right in front of the stage. Now, anyone who's ever been to a comedy show knows the last thing you want to do is walk in front of the stage while someone is up there with a microphone. Absolutely. Because they'll say anything. And I'm really, really short. I'm really tiny, curly red hair. And whoever was at the mic said something to me. I think it was about my height. I'm not positive. But I looked at him, and it was that moment of, oh, I'll play with you. It wasn't nasty. It wasn't, you know, for a minute, like I go back to as a child being bullied and teased. There's that instant reaction of, uh-oh, someone's making fun of me. How do I ignore it? Do I fight? Like, you're a kid again. And I was like, oh no. I was like, oh, what's going on here? And I was coming from a singles party. I was with some people. They disappeared. The next thing I know, I'm like, he says, come join us on stage. The magic words, join us. Or take the spotlight, take the stage, take the mic. I said, well, hold on, let me just see how it feels. And I held the mic and I stood there. I was like, I felt like I was home. Like it felt 1,000% natural in my body. Now, I have a theater degree. I've been on stage since I was like 2 or 3 years old in dance classes. I think my first play, I was the Wicked Witch in either Snow White or Sleeping Beauty. And for this tiny little insecure, meek little kid, it was beyond empowering. It was liberating and freeing. And like, I remember standing at the edge of the stage with my arms up, like this power, I don't know where it came from. And I always felt confident and comfortable on the stage. And so I was actually in a movie, a Canadian movie, Mordecai Richler's Jacob Tutu Meets the Hooded Fang.
Oh.
It aired, or I don't know what we used to call it when a movie came out. It was released for the Year of the Child. But I never thought of doing stand-up. I was just always funny, and I liked using humor, and it was just the way my mind works. It's like, you know, I say, embrace who you are, uniquely you, be authentically you. Those skill sets, yes, I'm quirky, yes, I'm different, yes, I'm original. We all are different and original, and that's what we should celebrate. But I never thought about doing stand-up. And it was just one of those things, like it fell like literally in my path. Literally, it was in my path, and I loved it. And then I took classes, and I went to open mics, and I did some shows. And like a lot of things in my life, when I do something, I'm all in. Like, I'm not just going to dabble. And I got to meet amazing people, and when pandemic hit and all the mics went online, and I thought, let's do a networking event / comedy show, and I'll bring together my corporate and my business friends and my comedy friends who need an audience. And the next thing I knew, I reached out to someone, and I had a co-producer and a technical producer, and we planned an entire online, one of the very first online comedy shows, and made it a fundraiser for 3 COVID-related charities. And to me, that was meaningful. It was about helping others and serving community and using my event planning skills and my networking skills and my comedy and my creative directing, producing skills. And since then, I also, because comedy, like many other industries, very pale, male, stale, frail, old white men, bro culture dominated, I want to be a voice for the women in comedy and join with other women. And so I wrote articles about sexism and ageism in comedy and served on panels about branding and marketing for all comedians. I mean, a lot of my male allies are from the comedy world, from my comedy community. And so it has beyond enriched my life. it's brought me back to my creativity and back to performing in a way that I may not be cast in a play yet or in a TV show yet, but I can go on stage any night of the week in a mic, get feedback, give feedback, find writing partners, serve on panels like I did yesterday, in fact. And for people who aren't in comedy, I know one of the best compliments or the things that made me feel really wonderful about creating that show, she goes, "Thank you for giving us a reason to laugh again."
Oh, wow. That's pretty, that must have meant something.
Yeah. It was the height of the, it was in New York a year ago. So it was April, actually almost exactly the first week in May that we did the show. And you couldn't get masks or PPEs. They were basically bootstrapping like homemade PPEs in the hospitals. And I had a set about putting out for PPEs. The blind date, he like offered to show up with and bring me masks, which were effectively contraband at that point in time. And I'm like, what does he want in return? And she's like, the concept, she goes, it's absurd and it's crazy. And thank you for giving us a reason to laugh again.
That's amazing. I love that story. That's really great. And yeah, so many people still today need a reason to laugh. But a year ago, it was just, I don't think anyone today would believe, like you couldn't believe a year ago that we would be here today, is what I mean. But
we didn't know where we'd, right. And humor is absolutely a way to process. It's my way, certainly. Scientifically, like the neuroscience behind humor and laughter and what it does to the body and the brain and how we process things, there is a lot of science behind the value and the benefit of it. Obviously, anecdotally, you know, there's laughter through tears. Laughter is the best medicine. I mean, still need, you know, your inhalers and your vaccines and all that. But it does bring people together and it cuts the tension and it makes me happy and it brings me together with really cool people. And I do say having comedians in your life during a global pandemic, it's a pretty good community to have in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now I want to ask you, you know, you talked a little bit about being bullied as a child and then, you know, moving to New York, obviously. I imagine within your life then there's been some setbacks. And things maybe didn't go as planned as they do for every person in the world.
A lot of things maybe.
So how do you approach that? And where do you get your drive to continue going?
Oh, my goodness. Well, definitely comedy. that helped. Oh, setbacks. I mean, look, honestly, and right now for me, having to leave my home of 20 years, the place where I came into my own, where I found my people and my career and my identity, that was right now the biggest setback in my life that is ever present. And living in Toronto in lockdown for 6 months, not seeing human beings as an extrovert, that's the hardest thing of all. But we have to cope and we have to find ways. And it's ironic in some ways because I was talking to someone saying, I feel very isolated. I'm very lonely. I'm, you know, depressed. I wake up crying. I go to sleep crying. I want to go home. And yet they're like, you're kidding. Like, but you show up every day. I'm like, are you faking it? I'm like, no, I'm also really happy to be on this Zoom call and to talk to, like, I really am. I'm like, yay, Zoom. they're like, you're insane. I'm like, yeah. but finding that energy source where you can get it. So yes, as an extrovert, every day I grapple with accepting the fact that I'm not going to see people in person and fighting it tooth and nail in my head. And yet, like, you, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with, right? You can't always get what you want, but if you try some time, you just might find you get what you need. And I won't quote a bunch of music lyrics, but find that whatever mantra, song, playlist, whether it's a cliche, whether it's cute, whatever it is, something that keeps your attitude focused on the positive. So for me, it is connecting with people. I'm always going to learn more by talking to someone and by hearing. I'd rather hear advice from someone than read about it in a book because I'm an extrovert and I get that energy from other people. Certainly relying on my friends. I will tell anyone that. That's the benefit of having friends and network. I'm single. I don't have kids. I don't have a lot of family members. The few family members I have are in Montreal. I haven't seen them since September. So that's rough as well. But relying on people that I've known for years, and also just asking for help from people I've just met. Sometimes it's the people that you've just met that you don't even know well that will show up for you. And so I would say to anybody struggling, figure out what makes you happy, figure out what keeps you going. So for me, it's comedy. It's my work. I blend comedy with coaching. And I was struggling with the business too, because we all struggled. And in particular with the move and with a lot of clients just canceling contracts, how do you build and rebuild? And at one point, someone said to me, your brand is a mess. Like, you know, we don't know, are you a comic? Are you a coach? And this was part of the struggle that I've been going through with my business. Quite frankly, it's more serious than just having a messy LinkedIn profile, especially since I work with people and help them with their profiles. But you can't read the label when you're inside the jar. You can't coach yourself. And so it wasn't just about the LinkedIn. It was more like, who am I and what do I want to be? And to answer your question of like, how do I get through it? And I'm making changes in my life right now. And I need and want to get back to the arts and blending the business with the arts somehow. But asking other people for input and advice and saying, you know what? Who I am is this artsy, quirky, creative, not corporate person. I'm bringing comedy into everything I do. I'm bringing creativity into everything I do. And what's my next step? How do I get the arts back into my business and find business in the arts? Because my first job, the job that brought me to New York City, was a job marketing Broadway shows. Hmm. And so I feel like in some ways, maybe I'm coming full circle. Maybe it's the film and TV industry in Toronto until, you know, that's one of the reasons I did choose to move to Toronto. We're Hollywood North here, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
within the first couple of months I was here, I did run a workshop, in fact, with a well-known actor on creative career skills for creatives.
That's great. That's great. That's awesome. I really like that answer, and I like the honesty in it. So I have one final question, and this question we ask all of our guests. And we like it. I like it because everybody has a different answer. But the question is, if you could go back in time and talk with a younger you, whatever age you want, could be just when you moved to New York, could be before that, what would you say to yourself and what kind of conversation would you have?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't even know if my younger self would have listened to me, but I sure would have liked for her to have somebody strong to tell her she's good enough and that her unique personality and her unique way of looking at things, that not fitting in is actually the best thing in the world. Because I always wanted to fit in and I never did in so many different ways, I would have told her, don't worry about what other people say. It sounds, you know, common and trite, like what other people think of you is none of your business. But when you're a teenager and a kid and you're trying to fit in and you don't, it's hard. So I would have absolutely said, find people that make you feel good about yourself. Like, trust your instinct. I knew that I had friends that took advantage of me and made me, and would have like, and did dump me on a moment's notice for anything else. I had people that really were cruel to me, but I kept them in my life because I didn't know any better. Or I thought, well, if they're gone, I won't have anyone else. But I think in some ways, like, doing the work to trust in yourself and figure out who you are and what you want, and learn the skills that you don't have. I would say also, if there's things that scare you, try them anyhow. Mm-hmm. I was scared of a lot of things as a kid. Now, not the only thing I'm really scared of is filling out forms.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, it's, you know, you can't pick your family, you can pick your friends, you can't pick where you're born, but you can choose where you go. And I had the chance to move away and go away to school, which I would have said to myself, suck it up and do it. But I didn't have the confidence at that point. And I think that would have absolutely changed the trajectory of my life, as if I had left Montreal and left my parents' house. Because we all lived at home and went to McGill or Concordia. But right. Lived at home.
Yeah.
So I missed that whole sorority experience. And I was really too scared of people. I didn't have the confidence to like go away where I figured I would be bullied and teased all year, you know, 24/7. hadn't thought about that for a long time. But you know what? We are, I don't think regretting or wishing or blaming yourself or anyone else helps. At this point, this is my life. This is my story. It's the one I'm sharing. And it's also, you know what? The lens that I'm using to look at my life, I don't know how clean that lens is or how accurate it is. Because I went to my high school reunion and I thought that I was this awkward little kid who didn't have a lot of friends. And yet the reactions I got from people was like, we always remembered you as this bubbly, fun, social little thing, organizing parties. I'm like, wow.
Interesting how people perceive themselves too and how others.
Or maybe I would have just, told myself, get a good pair of glasses. Like get those magic glasses that let you see you for who you really are. You know, but we have to move on and like embrace what's good about ourselves. But more than that, it's also getting out of our own head. Like get out of your own way, get out of your own head, do something that's meaningful, do something that helps others. And that's why when I was in social work, I worked in Alzheimer's care and oncology and hospitals, and that was meaningful. Yeah. And it was important. And even though, you know, nobody goes into social work for the money, I cared about what I did. And so I think finding work that's meaningful, chasing the dream that suits you or the dream that is creatively fulfilling versus what other people saying you should be an accountant, you should be a doctor, you should be a lawyer. It doesn't matter what other people say. You got to follow your heart.
Yep, absolutely. That's a great answer and brings us to the end of our formal questions. So thank you very much. And now we just have three questions that we ask everyone kind of to give people, you know, something to think about listening to or reading or just other, you know, other thoughts from yourself. So the first question is, what is your favorite podcast or source of information?
So my favorite source of information is other people. I joke that I don't actually read. I can read. I was an English lit major. But I tend to get a little overwhelmed by all the information that's out there. And I know that there's experts who are reading things. I like books by people I've met. I have a long bookcase, long list of books by authors, primarily women, who I adore. And I've had dinner and drinks and lunches and been to conferences with them. And so I tend to buy their books. I don't always read them because I know I can just call them.
Yeah.
The podcasts I listen to, I'll be honest, tend to be the ones that I'm on because I want to prepare for them. I want to get to know the host.
Of course.
And the themes appeal to me. They're about reinvention, transformation, branding, community, you know, women's empowerment, the arts. So I will gravitate towards the themes and topics that interest me. And what was the third question?
Well, that was the first question. But the second question is, and I'm not sure, maybe you're not, are you currently reading anything right now?
Social media posts.
Awesome. And what is your favorite social media platform?
I will say my relationship with social media could best be described as it's complicated. It's a love-hate relationship. It is, I would always rather be in person with people, no doubt about it, because for the pandemic, we haven't had that option to balance social media with social. This, another silver lining is truly social media can be used for, to connect with people. And as long as you know how to take the online interaction and make it into a relationship, to take it offline, that's the trick. And that's something that I have done very successfully with the people in my life and that I teach my clients. So LinkedIn, the world's largest professional network, if you are a professional of any kind, and I include the arts and corporate and entrepreneur, whatever you do, if you are not on LinkedIn, get on it now. If you are not on any kind of social media, you are effectively invisible. Instagram is incredible. Clubhouse is a form of social media. It's an audio listening app. I've landed a lot of podcast appearances and met amazing people. I got a client through Clubhouse. I've met inspiring women. I've learned a lot. So I would say that people need to choose the platform that suits their personality and their goals. So depending on your business, right, do you want to be on Facebook? Is Instagram where your audience is? Is it YouTube? Obviously, video is the most popular, has the most engagement. You have TikTok. You have YouTube. You have Instagram, LinkedIn Live, Facebook, even just like, you know, creating your own videos and posting them on your website. But social media is a way to interact, to do research, to connect, and to build a relationship slowly over time or really quickly. People tend to be pretty direct. The DMing on Instagram, Instagram is the new email somehow.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I get DM'd I forget to look because I never thought of it that way. But I would say that's pretty new too. Would you like the DMing on Instagram?
It is. Yeah. I mean, I say it jokingly, but Instagram DMs is the new email in a lot of ways. And you know what? I can fight against it, but like everything else, you know, fight against it, but then embrace it. Yes, it's not ideal. I'd rather be in person. Okay, get over that. Today I've had, 4 networking calls today, booked 2 podcasts and a speaking gig. And some of it is through just Instagram or Clubhouse or LinkedIn, but having the face-to-face with these people all day is what builds the real relationship. And there's people I've said, I can't believe we never met in all these years in New York when we travel in all the same circles, whether it's real estate or the arts or women's networks. There's women I was like, you're in New Jersey, I'm in New York. How did we never meet at an Elevate event? But you know what? Here we are meeting on Zoom and we're meeting now and it was meant to be. But I do believe that people need to learn how to use social media. And from a branding standpoint, as someone who does work with her clients on their social media profiles and their content, from a creative standpoint, it's fun. There's so much you can do with it. What's your brand? What's your hashtag? What are your colors? What are the themes that you talk about, right? If you're just talking about 20 different things and you're all over the place, I don't know what you're selling. But if all your pictures are stock photography, well, I'm not interested in that either. But if you're putting out content that's about you, about your life, your business, your story, if you're amplifying other people's voices, spotlighting other people, I've started something new called A Day in the Life of a Fireball. Because I'm keeping my schedule packed with incredible conversations and events and experiences. And I was like, why not promote Bonnie and Run It Like a Girl? Why not promote the other podcast that I was on yesterday and the one I'm going to be on tomorrow? And all these women at Elevate who were tagging each other on LinkedIn and on Facebook posts and on Instagram posts, it's great because we help each other and we spotlight each other that way. So yes, social media is absolutely, and it's here to stay. It's incredible. There's ways to use it. Still, I always say, get out of the comments. Comments are a good way to start a conversation and start that communication, but get out of the comments and get out of your phone and still have that face-to-face or voice-to-voice conversation and really get to know people.
And the third question is, who is currently inspiring you?
Wow. I'm going to say it's not one person. It is the collective of women that I'm meeting and talking to every day. And I do get inspired easily by other people. And right now with Clubhouse, which is not going away and is an incredible medium for connecting. By the way, I was listening and I was like, that's a Canadian accent. I didn't even have my phone in front of me. I couldn't see who was talking. I was like, that's a Canadian. And I went to look at her profile, sure enough. So the people that inspire me right now, or in general, it's the women I meet every day. Some who are, you know, incredible leaders and are doing amazing things. And sometimes it's just the ones who are single moms with 2 kids living their life and getting through day to day. And I would say also the artists, the young artists who are not just young of every age, but who are fighting for something beyond their own career, who are making it a point and using their influence for global issues and, you know, global crises and women's empowerment. I think those are the people that really inspire me when they have the platform and the power and the funds and the means and they could use it for anything and they choose to focus on something. And when they don't even have the means and the platforms and they still choose to use their spotlight to focus on someone else, that inspires me.
Amazing. Well, Dina, I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of, I know what you have, a very busy day. It was really great to chat with you and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Bonnie. This was a treat. It really was.
Run It Like a Girl is hosted by Bonnie Moak. Brian Long is the producer. Web design and technical assistance provided by Dan Moak. And music courtesy of the talented Brooklyn Gillichuk.